again. This is the old good morning man, Kermit Edney. And we're taking up where Mr. Fitz left off, referring, of course, to the beloved Frank L. Fitzsimmons and his three-book trilogy based on 25 years of broadcasting from the banks of the Ocklawaha from these microphones. Our material covers primarily the period only over the last 50 years, commemorating the 50th anniversary of radio station WHKP. Today, Fitch Hair Tonic, we might remember Lucky Tiger, and Pine Tar Creosote Shampoo, and the tonsorial specialist who used them. Back when WHKP first signed on the air, most barber shops were located on Main Street. There were a couple on 7th Avenue. And back then, they were barber shops. And the full service shops had not only shaves, haircuts, shampoos, but shoeshine stands. One or two even had a full-fledged smoke shop up near the front, and showers. One of those shops was the Model Barber Shop, located in the building where Max Menswear is today. It was operated by J. Lewis Albee, was one of the nicer shops in town, with a full inventory smoke shop across from the front chair, plus Mr. Albee dealt in real estate on the side, and those offices were in the basement. Others plying the barber trade in the Model Barber Shop were Bill Bomar and Merritt Elida. Across the street was Tom's Barber Shop, which had operated at one time in the basement under the old State Trust Company. There were stairs going down from the sidewalk, and glass bricks in the sidewalk provided light for the barber shop. This shop was operated by Murph Elliott, who was grandfather of the great Bob Elliott, who was a star fullback for the University of North Carolina. And along with Murph were two other very colorful people, Tinch Godshaw and Polka Dot Anders. Now, I mentioned Bob Elliott as having descended from a barbering family. My own father barbered from time to time, and Polka Dot was a relative of WHKP's own Art Cooley. Mr. Albee's family turned to golf, with Phyllis marrying the Hendersonville golf pro, Cliff Collins, and Hayes Albee, professional at Etowah Valley Country Club, also related. The Skyline Hotel was another big shop back in the 40s, and was owned in whole or in part from time to time by D.C., and Pete Orr and Kenneth Reed. The Skyland is the only large shop still doing business on Main Street. But back when WHKP signed on the air, there was also in the block between 3rd and 4th Avenue, Troy's Barber Shop, next to the Hot Spot. Troy and Carl Justice would later buy out Zan Lida's Main Street Barber Shop down below the Palace Barber Shop, which my father ran. When Eldon Leland Levi, Jr. returned from making airplanes in Seattle, Washington during World War II, he decided to take up barbering and work the first chair for my dad until a stroke disabled him, disabling Dad back in 1949. Later, Smokey would operate a shop on 4th Avenue at the corner of the alley, Wall Street, and 4th, and still later would run his shop on Church Street above Freeman's Newsstand, which is operated today by Kimberly Carling. Across from the courthouse, George Drake and Frank Orr ran the old courthouse barber shop, Frank being the father of Boyce Orr, who was controller at WHKP until he retired. Down on 7th, there was the famous Crystal Barbershop, operated by James J. Pace, who directed the affairs of the Republican Party as its county chairman, and who worked the first chair of the shop. The second chair was handled by Charlie Lawrence, who was an outstanding checker player, and always, permanently set up and ready to go, was the professional checker table back near the big pot-bellied stove. Donald Redd and Joan Price run this shop today. And then across the railroad tracks was the Carolina Barber Shop, which was operated by James H. Dorn, whose sons would later operate grocery businesses, and finally a ready-to-wear shop on the south end of town. In the 1940s, the bigger shops did a booming shower business on Fridays and Saturdays. There were still many homes out in the county in 1946 that did not have running water. Today, virtually no shop still offers shower baths. No shop still offers a large shoeshine stand. In fact, very few of the shops offer even shaves today, and many of the newer shops have chairs that don't even recline. Shaving, I'm told, is against the law in Florida because of the risk of AIDS. No barber of the 1940s, however, would ever grieve over doing away with shaving. Back then, you got a quarter for a haircut and 20 cents for a shave, which took longer to do than a haircut. I can remember sitting in Dad's shop and hearing a barber after seeing a customer coming down the street, "There comes old man so-and-so, and I ain't going to shave that squirrel today." That's what they'd call somebody wanting to have a shave, a squirrel, and the barber would then escape out the back door. There are quite a few small shops out in the county today, and there is a relatively new three-chair shop on the busy bend of Canoga called the Mug and Brush. It's owned by Virgil Kepner. Virgil's been around for about 14 years and remembers the names of many of the old-time barbers and some of the tall tales about one or two in particular, which we'll share with you later in the week. With Virgil is Jerry Boyer. He's on the front chair, and Doug Singleton. And one of the old-timers, Kenneth Reed, who used to be at the Skyland, gives a spell to Virgil or Doug 2 days a week filling in. I guess Eldon Leland, Smokey Levi, and Carl Justice are the two oldest living barbers out of that golden age of the 40s. Tomorrow, a gallon jug, a Fourth Avenue chase, and a long-standing practical joke series between the famous banker Bill Hodges and his barber Bob Case. Another wonderful memory from a seventh child of a seventh child who was lucky enough to be born in this great town and had the good sense never to leave here, working at a job he loved not just for 50 years, but for a lifetime. Sursum corda, as we look to the next 50 years.